Tonight's shiur will be Lezecha Nishmas David Levi ben Eliakim Getzel, Alav Hashalom, who was nifter on last Wednesday evening, and Eli Deutsch, who's a member of our regular in the shiur, is sitting shiva now. When is he getting up tomorrow? I think. And he asked that the shiur be Lezecha Nishmas, his father. Okay, so tonight again will be separate topic. We'll see how far we get. It's a machlokas, which I thought many of the Agadah Svarim and the Chanukah Svarim would talk about. I'm sure they do. I just didn't find so much in it in the Achronim. But we'll leave some for next year. Maybe we'll continue. But at least to whet the appetite to see the different ways that the Rishonim understand a simple topic that we don't really think about, even though we mention it in Al Anisim. But hopefully this will be a springboard for further discussion. Next week we get back to Sanhedrin, to Inyanim of Rov and Rov Badayanim. Okay, you see the title of the shiur. It says on top, Be'inyin Uva'u Ba'pritzim V'chilaluha. What does that mean? Uva'u Ba'pritzim V'chilaluha. Usually the topic, at least, you could understand the title. But here it's, what's that talking about? Okay, so let's start even before that. Right? We all say in Al-Anisim all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and what the Chashmonoim did with Hashem's help on the way back. I'll turn this off too. And towards the end of Al-Anisim, we say, V'tiharu et mikdashecha. We say the Chashmonoim purified the Mikdash. V'tiharu et mikdashecha. The assumption of that being that the Beis HaMikdash became Tamei somehow. Our focus tonight is going to be, how did the Beis HaMikdash become Tamei? What exactly does it mean that the Beis HaMikdash became Tamei? We say it, V'tiharu et mikdashecha. So I'll be Ashkafa and Agada. Yeah, there were a bunch of Yevonim running around the Beis HaMikdash. We couldn't do the Avoda anymore. So that's kind of like, you know, Hashkafik Tumah. But what about Halachik, Mahuti Tumah? How exactly did the Beis HaMikdash become Tamei? Specifically, the following problem. We know there's a principle that, 2 points. There's a principle of Ein Adam Oser Dover She'eno Shelo. That is principle number one, which means if a non-Jew comes over to my house and bows down to it and worships it and davens to it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have the halachic status of Avodah Zarah. And it doesn't become offered to me because it's not his. Only if somebody has ownership over something can he make it forbidden halachically. I can't. If you have a vineyard and I take my plants, and while you're on vacation, I take my plants and I hang them over your vines, and now I've created Kilei Akerem, which is Aser Bahana, and I come back from my vacation, I'm away for the summer, and I come back, and I see there's a mixture, it's not Aser, until it grows more once I know about it. Why? Ein Adam Oser Dover She'eno Shelo. When it's not of the halachic ability and authority to Aser something that does not belong to him. That's the rule. If that is true, then what's the question? What's the question regarding our issue? The Beis HaMikdash. The Yevanim came into the Beis HaMikdash, they could bow down, right, from today till tomorrow. It belongs to Hekdash. It belongs to Hekdash. So how exactly did the Yevanim, L'chora, it was the Yevanim, right, who else would it have been? L'chora the Yevanim, how did the Beis HaMikdash become Nasar, or become Tamei? A. B. Okay, let's leave it at that. Or just add one more point, which we'll get back to in a few minutes, and that is, there is a concept called the Isra Me'ila, which I hope to talk about more in depth at one point. We're going to touch on a number of points about Me'ila tonight. The Isra Me'ila means I am not allowed to get any enjoyment or pleasure from anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not allowed to drink out of a kos of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not allowed to, you know, any type of hana. There's even the poskim talk about, not for tonight, what about leaning against the kotel? What about if it's you go at 12 o'clock, you're going to Israel tomorrow night, when you go and it's hot, it's sunny, you go in the shade of the kotel. I'm not going to dab it in the sun. I'm schmitzing. I'm going in the shade. Is that Me'ila? Getting hanah from the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So, is that a question? It's only an outside wall. Okay, don't worry. It's not the... Lamaisa, it's okay. You could ask a question about sticking your hands into the kotel. Some Achronim have a hey, not to stick your hand all the way in. Maybe the Kedusha starts in the middle of the kotel. Anyway, but that is the Isser of Me'ila. And usually the rule is, it says in the Gemara Me'ila, that only Jews could violate the Isser of Me'ila. So, if that's true, number one, Eidam Balam Oser, Davar She'enu Shalo, the Yevanim can't, shouldn't have the ability to offer the Beis HaMikdash by bowing down to it. And number two, they can't violate Me'ilah. And just another aspect of Me'ilah, again, this is all other background, and that is another point of Me'ilah is once I get pleasure from something, it automatically loses its Kedusha. It becomes Chulin. But that only applies by Jews, the Gemara says. The only Jews are B'nai Me'ilah. So how exactly, feel free to take part. So the question is, how exactly did the Yevanim have that power? Okay, these are just introductory remarks, which we'll see are brought up in the Gemara. Okay, this whole issue starts with a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which we're going to see, just the structure of the Shir, as we'll see, is a Gemara, three-way machlokas. Balamar, Ramban, Rashi. We're going to do it in that order. Balamar, Ramban, Rashi. Okay, so that's the structure. But first we have to see the Gemara. Yeah. Because that's a question I was looking around, meaning somebody asked, somebody today about the sugya. What if the Yevanim brought a dead body into the Beis HaMikdash, or brought a sheret into the Beis HaMikdash? That might be true, but I think what by the timuas mikdashecha we mean in terms of the nesar, like avodah zara. We don't think they brought in, they weren't out lahachis to halachically make the Beis HaMikdash tameh. They were out to get us out of it and to kill us spiritually. We talk about a little bit on Shabbos. So I think that the point is Chazal thought that they were Obed Avodah Zarah there. So if they were Obed Avodah Zarah there, so how did it become Netzar? And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to talk about. There's some midrash, but again, let's see the Gemara. Okay, so let's see the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis on the Beis. So let's start with line 6. Boimine Rabbi Yossi ben Sholmi Rebbe. Again, we have to get to the last lines 20s, but let's start from the beginning. Boimine Rabbi Yossi ben Sholmi Rebbe. Kalim shimshu behen bebeis chonyov, mahu sheish tamshu behen bebeis hamikdash. There was a place, the times of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Menachos already talked about it. The end of the Mishnah is in Menachos. We'll get to it soon. Daf Yomi. There's a place, Beis Chonyov. It's a machlokes tanoim, whether Beis Chonyov was a real house of Avodah Zarah, or it was just a fake. It wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It was a... people worship stuff there, but it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. So the question is, Rabbi Yossi ben Charles asked Rebbe, Kalim, let's say you have pitchers, forks, pitchforks, whatever it is, that were used in this house, in Beis Chonyov. Could you subsequently use them in the Beis HaMikdash? Are you allowed to? Is it mius? Is it disgusting to use those kinds of things? So says the Gemara, the Kamiboya Le'aliba demanda Amar, and the question is according to the one who holds Beis Chonyov lav Beis Avodah Kochavim hi. If, according to the opinion that Beis Chonyov is real Avodah Zarah, so of course you can't use that in the Beis HaMikdash. Something is used for Avodah Zarah, it becomes Asur B'Hana'ah. But what about, according to the Mandamar that says Beis Chonyov, this other house, it was not real Avodah Zarah. Then the question is, if it was used in this house, could you use it in the Beis HaMikdash? Ditznan, as it says in the Mishnah, in Menachos, like we just quoted, Kohanim sheshimshu beBeis Chonyov lo yishamshu beMikdash Yerushalayim, veYitzarach lo melo davar acher. Kohanim that did service in Beis Chonyov are not allowed to serve subsequently in the Beis HaMikdash. VeYitzarach lomar, and of course, if they served in an actual house of Avodah Zarah. That's what that line in the Mishnah from Menachos means. So the Mishnah says that Kohanim, the people, the Gavris who served in this house, they can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash afterwards. So the Gemara's question is, Kohanim dukan sinhu rabbanon, mishum tibidei deya ninhu, aval kalim lo, odil maloshna. Is the din that only Kohanim who served in this house are not allowed to later serve in the Beis HaMikdash? Because they have teichel, they should know better. And because they didn't know better, we say, tough, you can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. Or no, it's not a din in the Gavra, it's a din in anything that's related to this Beis Chonyov, even though it's not real Avodah Zarah, we're still going to say they can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, the Iker HaDin, it's mutter, because it's not Avodah Zarah. But there's a din to Rabbanon that we don't allow Kohanim to serve in the Beis HaMikdash afterwards. So the question is, what about the Kalim? That's the question. Let's say you have these jugs and knives, etc. You have a knife that you shecht with that was used in this house. Could you use it? That's the question. Amar Leis, so Rebbe answers, line 14. Asur name, it's Asur. It's Asur midrabanan. Why? Umikraha biyadenu v'shachachnuha. He says, it's Asur based on a pasuk, and I forgot the pasuk. That's what he says. He's honest. He says, I remember sometimes, you remember something from yeshiva 20 years ago. Yeah, my Rebbe said that. I don't remember what he based it on, but he said that. He said it was usher. Right? That's it's very, very possible. It's even, you know, we have some chizuk. We have some, we don't, shouldn't have yeyush. Even Rebbe, your views on us, he forgot it. So, eisvei, fine. So, kol ha-kelem asher hizniach ha-melech achad v'malchuso v'malo heichanu v'hikdashnu. There's a pasuk of Divrei Hayamim, which I thought it would be important just to see the context. So just turn to page 2 for a minute. This is the pasuk of Divrei Hayamim, where Achaz was one of the most wicked kings in all of Jewish history. Chizkiyahu, one of the greatest kings in Jewish history, took over after Achaz, and he got all the Jews to purify and to get the Beis Hamikdash back in order after Achaz did all these terrible things to it. So in that context, after they finished everything, they cleaned everything up, they got all of the disgusting things out of the Beis Hamikdash. In the top right, Pasuk Yudches, Vayavo Pnimo Chizkiyo HaMelech, so the servants came to Chizkiyo, Vayomru Tiharnu as Kol Beis Hashem. We did it! We finished purifying the Beis Hamikdash, as Mizbach Olav as Kol Kelav, as Shulchan Arech as Kol Kelav, the as Kol HaKelim, we did the Mizbeach, we did all the Kelim, Asher Hizniach HaMelech Achaz B'Malchuso B'Ma'alo, that the King Achaz left over B'Ma'alo in his, for the word Me'ila, in his going against God, Heichanu V'Hikdashnu. We were making it, whatever that means, Heichanu V'Hikdashnu, and then we sanctified it. V'Hinam L'Fnei Mizbach Hashem. We're all ready, we're set to go with the new Avoda. What does that word, Heichan, or that phrase, Heichanu V'Hikdashnu, means? Okay, now we turn back to the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is about to try to figure out. So back to the Brisa on line 15. Eisvei, kol hakelim asher is this a pasuk that we just read? Kol hakelim asher is niyach hamelech achaz b'malchuso b'malo heichanu v'hikdashnu. My love asked the Gemara, heichanu da'at belinhu, hikdashnu da'akdishninhu. Doesn't that phrase mean that they took the old kelim that were used for avodah zara, for all this other stuff by Achaz, and they got it ready and they used them? And the Gemara assumes, and as Rashi explains here, Achaz had no authority to bow down to the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Ein adam oser davar she'ein shaloh, as we started off. So these were kelim that were bowed down to. Disgusting acts were done to it, but it wasn't really nasar. Similar to the Beis Chonyo type of case. And you see that they used these kelim subsequently. So doesn't this prove that kelim that were used in a certain sordid context can later be used in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? That was the question of the Gemara. Could the Kelim of Beis Chonyo be used in the Beis HaMikdash? So we think, here's a similar case. Because again, Achaz, he's a Jewish king. He can't answer something that's hektish. So it must be that this similar type of case, they used it. So isn't that what the Pasuk is telling us? So the Gemara answers, no. Amar Lei Rebbe says, Baruch Atah L'Shamayim, Shechazarta Le'evei Dasi. Thank you, you just reminded me, the Pasuk that you brought teaches me just the opposite of what you thought it meant. Remember, Rebbe said it's usser. Then we just brought this raya to say, hey, it's mutter, because you got him ready. So Rebbe says, no. Hechanu sheganaznum. Hechanu doesn't mean prepare them. Hechanum somehow means hid them. The kidashnu, what hidashnu, what does that mean? Shekdashnu acherim tachteyev. It means we got others. In other words, Rebbe said, I darshan in that pasuk, but just for the opposite of what you thought. In other words, you can't use kelim that were in this type of context in the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. Now we get to the point that's important for us. Yeah. So the question is, what does Hikdashnu mean? I mean, we know, just as an example, we know that even after something has the status of a klisharis, it needs to be mechunach in order to be used, whether the b'shem and amishcha or whether the usage. So something has to be mechanechit to be able to be used, like the Chanukah Samizbeah, or the Kabbanas had to be brought. It was still hektish beforehand, so I don't know how literally we could take that word hakdash. But I... Right. Oh, okay, so back to line 20. Lema Messiah. So let's bring a raya to this point that you could use these kalim. So now he gets his Chanukah. Mizrach is Tzvon is Ba, Gonzu Beis Hashbonoi, it's Avnei HaMizbeah, Shashik Shuan Sayavon. What's going on here? What northeastern place are we talking about? So, I gave you again page 3. This is a quote from the Mishnah in Midos. again. I'm sorry, I make it a cheat safer, but what could I do? Page 3, the Mishnah in Midos, Paragalah Halacha Vav. The Arba L'Shachos Hayu Babes Hamoked. If you think about the, just have a, you have a picture of the, so there's a place called the Beis Hamokad. Beis Hamokad, I think if they have it here. Where do they have the big map? Okay, one second. I'll forget it. They usually have it in Midos, either before here. So if you think about the Beis Hamikdash, here's west, right? Here's the Kodesh Kadashim. And by the way, this black outer line, that's the Kotel over there. Little drop of wall on all the way on the outside. That's the Kotel. That's why when we dive in and we see the Dome of the Rock in front of us to the left, that's on the Kodesh Kadashim, that's where it's out there. But the Kotel is a tiny little piece. That's why if you take the tunnels, you keep going all the way down, and then they tell you, oh, here's the Kodesh Kadashim, so you get over here, right in the middle, and then you look that way, that's the Kodesh Kadashim. But the Kotel is a tiny little piece out here. But anyway, so here's the Heichal with the menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach Hazav in the middle, and here's the big Mizbeach outside the Heichal. But over here, where is it? Here. On this side of the Heichal, the south side, is called the Beis Hamokad. Beis Hamokad is a room of offices. Four offices. So the Mishnah is describing what were in those four rooms in the Beis Hamokad, over here. So says the Mishnah, V'arba l'shachos ha'yev v'bos Hamokad. There were four offices. Kikitonos psuchos l'traklin, shtayim b'kodesh v'shtayim b'chol. Fine, two were on the inside, it had full kedusha, like the Heichal, two were on the outside. Rashi pispasin mavdilin mekodesh l'chol. Good. Umahayim masham shows. What were they used for? Maravas gromis hiyaisa lishkas tloi carbon. The southwestern wall was used to prepare the carbonos that were going to be used for the carbon talmud. Duromis mizrachis southeast hiyaisa lishkas osi lechem apanim. The bakers. The bakers stayed there, the ones who made the lechem apanim. Oh, now arwas. Mizrachis tzfonis, the northeast. What was in the northeast room? He ba gonzu beit rei chashmonai et avnei hamizbeach. In that room, the chashmonaim hid the stones of the mizbeach. Sheshiksum malche yavon. That the Greek kings had been mishakes, literally had made disgusting. That's where that room had those. They dug up and they hid the stones there. So in its maravis, it says that's how you get down to the mikvah. Fine. That's the Mishnah that we're about to quote. Again, back to page 1. Back to the Mishnah Gemara Avodah Zarah. So line 21, the Mishnah says, the Gemara brings this Mishnah, that the northeastern room there, that's where they hid the stones. And Rav Shesha says, what is it means made disgusting? It made disgusting for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara assumes, as we assumed by Achaz, the Yavanim really didn't have the authority or the halachic power to aser the Avni Mizbeach. So why'd they hide them? Haraya, it must be that even if something isn't real Avodah Zarah, like Beis Chonyo, you still can't use that for the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry? Oh, that's a good question. We'll get to that. So the question is, so that's what the Gemara thinks is a raya. Why they have to hide these stones? Why couldn't they use them again? It wasn't real Avodah Zarah. Haraya, even if it's not real Avodah Zarah, it's still disgusting. It's mius to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to use those, and that's why they put them away. So that's what he said. Just look in the Rashi, look at the bottom left, above the arrow. Above the arrow, like eight lines before they get wide. V'yamar Rav Sheshes, Sheshiksum Avodah Kochavim, Alma, so what do you see? Af Agabdil Hedyo Lo Mitzri. Even though really it's not halachically aser, de'eno, the moser, davar she'enu shelo, right? Because you can't ask something that's not yours. Gozabur Rabbanan, gabe gavoa. These are Rabbanan, and the same thing with Beis Chonyo. That's the Gemara's Havamina. That really the Avanim did not have the power to aser, right? But it's still aser. Okay. So the Gemara answers, and here's the key line, and this is where the title of the shiur came from. Amra, Papa, Hasam, Kra Ashkech V'Darash. Don't bring me rice from Chanukah. Chanukah is a special din. What happened by Chanukah was unique based on a pasuk. Dechsiv, as it says, pasuk in Yechezkel, uvo'u ba'pritzim v'chilaluha. The pritzim, the ones who broke through, entered in and v'chilaluha, and made it whole and desecrated it. What does that mean? So somehow, let me just see what the thrust of the Gemara is, and we'll figure out how it happened. The Gemara says, you can't bring me a raya from the story of Chanukah that even though something is not really usur, you still can't use it for the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because by Chanukah it really was usur. Based on the pasuk, it really became chol. And even if, usually, let's say by Beis Chonyo, if you want to say it's not really usur, maybe you can use that again for the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe you can use that for the Beis HaMikdash. But here by Chanukah it was a special din. May Iker HaDin, the Beis HaMikdash and the Kalim, became usur, became nasar, based on the pasuk. It's a nevuah. The question is, though, what halakhic mechanism is going on here? What does this mean? Is it gzeiras hakasuv? Okay, gzeiras hakasuv. But how does the gzeiras hakasuv work? What does it mean? Uvo ba pritzim v'chileluha. This is where the excitement starts. So first, even before we get to Rashi, we'll get to Rashi. Remind me if I don't get to Rashi at the end of the shir, after we do the Baal HaMor Ramban. That's what we're going to spend time on. So what exactly is going on? So let's turn to page 4 and page 5, which is the Baal HaMor. Again, each of these shitos has its own chiddush. So we're going to see the Baal HaMor says a tremendous chiddush, which we usually leave for, you know, after what we say the pashtus. But I don't think there's any pashtus here, because every shita that you say is explaining gzeiras hakasuv. Okay. So the Ma'ar HaGadol. The Ma'ar HaGadol. I think he calls his sefer the Ma'ar HaKatan on Moed, and the Ma'ar HaGadol on Hashem and Ezekiel. I think that's true. Rabbi Zerachi HaLevi from Provence. So it says, he quotes the whole Gemara, and then the last two lines where it's underlined, Amara Papa. Again, we're going to skip around, but the whole thing is very nice. Amara Papa, Hasam Kra Ba'ashkachu V'darshu, Denafkilu L'chulin Al Yidei Yisrael. You know who the priests are? The Misyavnim, not the Yavanim. The Jews themselves, the Hellenized Jews, violated Me'ilah. They used the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Thus, as we said before, one of the rules of Me'ilah is once somebody uses something of the Beis HaMikdash, not only does he violate the Isser, but automatically it leaves the status of Hektish. Once it's not Hektish anymore, the Yavanim come in, and then they can make it Nasar. Then they can bow down to it, and it's Avodah Zarah. V'zachu ba'ofti chachavim miyad b'Yisrael. V'chsev u'bo bas, turning the page. Turn to page 5, Ubaba Pritzim V'chileluha. Skipping, because we're going to come back, just read where it's underlined, because we're going to come back to the middle parts after. Denafkilu L'chulin Ayidei Pritzei Yisrael. Last line, V'darshush Ayidei Pritzei Yisrael Yatsu L'chulin. Dechsiv Ubaba Pritzim V'chileluha. Kaf Kibalnu Pirusha Mirabusein. In other words, the Baal HaMor says an unbelievable chiddush. You know what? It sounds like from the pasuk, Ubaba Pritzim. Who are the Pritzim? The Greeks. Says the Baal HaMor. Many times we are our own worst enemy. The priests in here are talking about the Misyavnim. The Misyavnim, the Jews themselves, who are B'nai Me'ilah. Right? We started off, Jews could violate Me'ilah. They were the ones that used the Kalim. Thus, that took it out of Kedushas Mikdash. Once that's true, so then the Yavanim came in and made it Nasar. Then they came in and did all the Avodah Zarah there, and that's how the Beis HaMikdash became Nasar and lost the Kedusha. That's the pshat of Vuvo Ba Pritzim V'Chileluha. What problem is he trying? What do you mean? He's trying to give pshat on the pasuk. What do you mean? How does it help? Oh, so how does it help? As follows. If you take the Baal HaMor's understanding, and again, I think this formulation crystallizes it, according to the Baal HaMor, there's no chiddush. What's the Gzeiras HaKasuv telling you? Uvo Ba Pritzim V'Chileluha. According to the Baal HaMor, there's no chiddush din that the Gzeiras HaKasuv is telling you. It's telling you a chiddush in history, not a chiddush in din. Because what happened according to the Baal HaMor? A Jew violated Me'ilah, and then a Goy came and made it Oser. There's nothing mechiddush about that. You know what's the chiddush? That's what happened. The chiddush is that the pasuk is being megala, according to the Baal HaMor, the history that happened. And as we'll see, one of the kashas that the Ramban is going to ask on the Baal HaMor is, what's the chiddush of the pasuk? In a chinami, there's no chiddush in din. The chiddush is what happened. That's the pshat of the... Yeah, no, it came hefker. It came hefker. Because what they weren't zocha into themselves. Yeah, right. Once it becomes chol. So then it's... So that's what the Baal HaMor is... The Gemara, again, we're not going to do that, right? We're running out of time, but that if you look at the continuation of the Gemara, it talks about why they had to bury it. We just know that they couldn't use it. Okay, so that is the first sheet of the Baal Hamor. Just to give you one more opinion, the Meiri, just because this is a Derech Halimud issue, the Meiri, page 6 and 7, he says like the Baal Hamor. In general, now the Meiri and the Baal Hamor are both from Provence, southern France. A lot of times they have overlapping. You know, whether there's a Baal Hamor in a sugi, it's always good to look in the Meiri to see, because he, many times, he parallels and echoes the Baal Hamor. So that's just where it's on the bottom of page 6, the Meiri says, Nogu Bohem Pritze Yisrael, Shehem B'nei Me'ila. Right? He says, that's why. He says, this pasuk isn't telling you a new thing that Goyim can violate Me'ila. No! It's a regular din. The Jews are violating Me'ila. But David did it, and then Ubo Goyim Ba'ansum Miyadam V'shiksum La'vodizara. Okay, and that's what he says at the end. He says, therefore, it's not a chiddush. Okay. One hosafa to this. I just read part of page 6. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing just to save some time. But again, this is good reading for in Yanni Chanukah. But now the next par night, the next night. Still got a few days left to look over these makoros. One of you said when you walked in here, are we doing all this tonight? No. For all the nights of Chanukah. This is just, we're just starting each makor tonight. One more hosafa regarding this first approach of the Baal Hamor, and that is Rav Sternbach's Ha'ara. On page 8, Rav Sternbach notes that the Rambam never quotes this halacha of Ubo Bo Pritza Mechila Luha. He never quotes it. He never says that the Yevanim came in. He never says. So why doesn't the Rambam quote it anywhere? So, well, based on what we've said so far, what would you say? Why? Oh, there's nothing. There's no chiddush din here. The Rambam's writing a sefer halacha. This pasuk is not teaching you anything mechiddush. It's teaching you what happened. That's mechiddush. That's exactly what the Sternbach says on the bottom of page 8. He says, "Lanias daiti nira shizel shidas Rambam milchosav shehishmit lagamre din uval priest of chil loy." He left the whole thing out. The Tzarachin, how did he do it? It's a mefurish pasuk in Zeres Hakasuv. He says, "No, the pshat is he holds like the Baal Hamor." Rambam holds like the Baal Hamor and the Meiri, and therefore he left it out because there's no chiddush. He quotes the din that Yisrael could violate Me'ila. He quotes the din that Goyim should make something usher if it's hefker and they could be zochetid. Boom, that's it. He quotes the halacha. So that is all approach number one to how to understand the pasuk uvo ba'pritza mechilalua. It's pritza Yisrael. The Ramban does not like this at all, and he asks six kashas on the Baal Hamor. Four somewhat strong, two of them somewhat weaker. We will, in the time, try to suggest a number of answers to defend the Baal Hamor. Okay, but remember, he's fighting the Milchamas Hashem. Right? Back to page 4. The Milchamas Hashem next to the Baal Hamor. That's what somebody once pointed out. The Ramban was a tremendous, tremendous genius. Okay, he doesn't need our Askama, but if you think about it, he started the Beis Medrash of the Ramban Rashi Rit Varan. Right? It's a Rebbe Talmud. Rabban Rashi Rit Varan. He started the whole thinking. You take somebody like that who spends an inordinate amount of time defending others. Think about what he does. The Ramban, he writes a whole sefer, Melchamos Hashem. He writes it in his Hagdama in Brachos. I don't believe in a lot of what the Rif says. I don't hold of what he says, but he's the Rif, so I got to defend him. So he defends the Rif against the Baal Hamor's attack. That's what usually the Melchamos Hashem does. So he writes a whole sefer to defend. In Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban defends the Bahag against the attacks of the Rambam. A whole Sefer! A lot of times he holds like the Rambam, but he says, this is the Bahag, I have to defend him. Another one, he writes Sefer HaZchus, which is also on the bottom sometimes, where he defends the Rif against the attacks of the Ravid. Right, so it's just an amazing that such an unbelievable person would have the yanivus and the humility to spend so much of his life. Remember, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik once suggested he thought maybe also the Ramban ala Torah. Not all of it, but some of it is a defense of the Darshei HaPshat, meaning the Pashtanim. He says a lot of other Sfarim out there were beginning to drash too much, so he was darshening, he was defending the Olam HaPshat a little bit. Maybe that was also somewhat of a defense. I think that's more of a stretch, but at least the other three are for sure works of defense. Anyway, so here, the Mechamas Hashem, Kosev V'Sefer Amor, left side of 4. Hikamei Vayile, he quotes it, Amar HaKosev, Ein Zeh Nacho. I wrote on the sides where the questions are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number one, the Avnei Mizbeach Nami Lo Nafki Lechulin, the Kedushas Haguf Ninhu. Very important principle we get in Hilchas Me'iwa. usually, as I said before, when you get pleasure from something and you violate me'ilah, it goes out to chulin. So in other words, let's say I take a brick out of a wall of the Beis HaMikdash and I put it into my house and I use it in my house, boom, that brick no longer has Kedusha. Therefore, if you then go take that brick and build it into your house, you didn't do anything wrong, because it's not Shel Hekdesh anymore. Because once I violate me'ilah, it goes to chulin. There are two exceptions to this rule, which is even after you do me'ilah to something, you violate, and the next person can still violate. In other words, the thing does not leave the Kedusha of Hekdesh, and that is the Hema of a Kli Sharis. Kli Sharis means the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. Buy a brick of the Beis HaMikdash, okay. Buy other things that don't have Kedushas HaGuf. You take money of the Beis HaMikdash. But Kli Sharis, all those types of Kalim, says that that's a rule in the Gemara. You can't argue with that. Kli Sharis has eternal Kedusha, and therefore it's not most Yotzei L'chulin by Me'ilah. So says the Baal Amar, what do you mean? The Jews did it and they violated Me'ilah? So what if it was the Jews? But the stones of the Mizrach have the status of Kli Sharis. If they have the status of Kli Sharis, then they're never Yotzei L'chulin, even if the Jews did it. That's what he says. V'tznan, kol she'en lo pidyon, anything that can't be redeemed, like a Kli Sharis, yesh bo moel achar moel. That means somebody could violate Me'ilah after somebody else already violated Me'ilah, meaning it still has Kedusha. The Ein Lecha Kli Sharis Gadol Me'avni Mizbeach. He has that line, he says, what's a greater Kli Sharis than the stones of the Mizbeach? That's the biggest Kli Sharis in the world. Tasha number one. Aren't the stones of the Mizbeach like Kli Sharis? And therefore, it should never go to Chulin, even if Jews violate it. Tasha number two. Skipping down to where it's underlined. The Tanya Nami Vesechas Megillah B'Tosefta, where there's a Tosefta in Megillah that says, Avnei Heichol V'Azaros, the stones of the Heichol and the Azaros, Shenifkemu V'Shenigmemu, Ein Lahem Pidyon V'Tu'uni Geniza. The stones of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash have to be buried. Midakatani Ein Lahem Pidyon Shmamina Kedushas Akufhein V'Kol Shekein Avnei Mizbeach. The Hainu Kli Sharis Mamish. Question number two. We know even the stones of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash can never leave their Kedusha. So the stones of the Mizbeach, they're on an even higher level. So for sure they can never leave Kedusha. So how can you suggest there's a regular din of Me'ilah here? That the Jews are being Moel? Number one, they have the status of Kli Sharis. Number two, even more emphatically, they're better than other stones, than other Avanim of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are two tough questions. I have to try to answer. Let's skip the next few lines, because that's where he says his own shita. Let's just read the next few words. Va'od, on line where it says three, on line six. Sharei Beis HaMikdash atzmo yu'atza mikdushaso al yada manasacho. Tohaba bayis tachsivu bo'al ba'pritza mechilaluha. Question number three, which isn't as strong of a question, the Ramban says, what does the pasuk say? Uva'u ba'pritza mechilaluha. What's the ha? What's the ba? So the Ramban, the pasuk is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash totally became Chulin. Doesn't sound like it's the regular din of Me'ilah. Sounds like the whole Beis HaMikdash suddenly lost its sanctity. Sounds like a new thing, says the Ramban. Remember, you Baal Amar say there's a regular din here. It doesn't sound that way from the Pasuk, who priestim came in and desecrated it. The next few lines we'll skip, because that's the Ramban's sheet to himself. Let's just finish the questions. Next page. The middle of line two, the end of line one. Vilumala bo pritza Yisrael, shita shiasa l'chulin al yadam. This is what I alluded to before. If it's regular me'ilah, so then it's obvious. The middle of line two, v'lama ha'yutzrich l'mikrazeh. What's the chiddush of the pasuk then? What's the chiddush of the pasuk if it's just the Jews violating me'ilah? We already know the answer. What's the answer? He's not being fair to the Baal Amar. The historical chiddush. Okay, fine. Not every pasuk is telling you a halakha chiddush, but there's a historical chiddush. But the Rabban obviously knows that and still asks the question. We don't know that Pritzi Yisrael could violate Me'ilah, that the Pasuk has to tell me? The end of the line now, the end of line three. V'hatema minayelo lebalamar shenishtamshu behem ba'asman. Shenani omer avdam lo nishtamshu behem. Another question, again, which is not such a strong question. The Pasuk never says anything about the Jews using the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say anything about usage. The Pasuk just says the priestim entered in and it became chulin. So where do you get any idea that, even if you want to say that's the shot of the pasuk, but it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk about that. So again, it's not such a strong question if you want to say that, you know, lo ra'inu ein araya, the sage. Just because it's not there doesn't mean it didn't happen. That's the pshat of the Balamar he's giving. And finally, the last question, which is somewhat stronger, and that is, if you look at the end of line 5, there's another principle in Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is only yotzei l'chulin if it's b'shogeg. If you violate b'shogeg, if you violate b'mezid, it's one of the dinim. Machlokas tanaim. That's another halacha. Hektish b'mezid eino mischala. That's another problem with the Baal Amar. They did it b'mezid. Right? They went in and they were the misyavnim. So again, that's the kasha. Let's just review the kashas of the Rabban asked on the Baal Amar. Number one. Don't the stones become, aren't they, don't they have a status of klisharis? They can never be yotzei l'chulin. Number two, they're better than any other stones. It's called, they have more kedusha, so surely they should stay holy. Number three, it sounds like the whole Beis HaMikdash became chulin. Not just the specific regular din of Mi'ilah. Number four, what's the chiddush of the pasuk? Number five is nowhere in the pasuk does it say they were used. And number six, what about b'mezid? Okay, so let's just pick again. We're not going to do all of them, but at least two or three of the questions, the strong ones. Again, just to mention two of the questions that are easier to answer. That is 4 and 5, and that is what's the chiddush of the pasuk? We already mentioned it's a historical chiddush. Number two, it doesn't say that they used it. Okay, it doesn't say. That's also not such a terrible problem. But the two or three other questions, let's just try to defend, because I think this way also we'll be able to get another little hashkafic nugget about kedusha in general as we answer this question in defending the Baal Hamar. Again, let's see. Okay. Question number one. Let's get that. He says the Avnei Mizbeach are just like have the same status as klisharis. Oh, just one more point before we answer the question. That is just a sefer that we've never mentioned here in the past 2 years. I just wanted to mention it, even though it doesn't really add much. And that it's a little different, but we're not going to go into it. And that is on page 9, the Kos of Shram, the separate sefer of the Raivin. Maybe Yeshiva would like to quote it. The Raivin and the Kos of Shram. And the Kos of Shram. I wanted to show this Raivin, something sefer called Kos of Shram by the Raivin, where he also asked kashas on the Baal Amor. Thank you. It says Kos of Shram. It's written there. He always starts off. The Baal Amor wrote there, etc., etc. There's a number of the Baal Amor and the Raivin wrote letters to each other in Torah. They're like Divrei Rivos. Is another group, so they're always arguing with each other. But so the Kos of Shram is one of the svarim. He always says Kos of Shram, the Baal Amor says, and then he argues Kos of Shram. But as a scholar once noted, whenever you write hasagas on a sefer, you obviously have tremendous respect for them. So why don't you just write your own sefer? Right? Everybody says, oh, the Raivin hates the Rambam. Oh, he writes, he kills him. Amar Avram, the Enos, the Shibush. He didn't write his own sefer. He wrote hasagas on the Rambam. So obviously he has tremendous respect for the Rambam. He just has hasagas. He has different things that he likes to argue with. Remember, if you hated it so much, you'd write your own sefer. But anyway, that's just a side point. Okay, it just shows you they had chashivas, but it was Machanta Shel Torah. It was Machanta Shel Torah. Okay, so the first question was, that's just arrived, it says a similar idea to the Ramban, but again, it's not exactly, but I don't want to get into it. Okay, so let's try to defend the Baal Amor. First question that the Ramban says, aren't Avni Mizbeach exactly like Klei Shoreis? What's the difference between the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Kalim, the Mizrakos? Oh, it's just the Mizbeach is no different. So the answer could be, and the answer seems to be, if you want to just look for Farish, keep your hands on page 10, we'll come back to it in a minute. But the Baal Amor and the Me'iri already know this, didn't they? They say, Beferish, it's not true. They say, I don't agree. Just the Me'iri is clearer, so you can just look at the Me'iri. Go back to page 7 for a minute. Sorry, that's, go back to page 7. He writes on top, after he quotes on the top line, Ein mo'al achar mo'al b'kachim el behem of a klisharis bilvad, that's what I mentioned before, that by there's no possibility of violating Mi'ilah twice, meaning after I violate, you violate, except by klisharis, the nimsa sha'adayin shal gavoahim below zachu b'hem gayim, by real klisharis, they can never leave their kedusha, but, says the Me'iri, ha'bashar dvarim ha'kedoshim, but by non-klisharis, like here, kagon avnei mizbeach, the stones of the mizbeach, the chesav ezav chayosu behem, mikiva shenagol b'priti yisrael, nenu priti yisrael b'nischayv karbim ila yatzu lechulin. And the Baal Amor says the beferish you could look back. The Baal Amor and the Me'iri hold no, we don't agree. The avnei mizbeach do not have the status of klei shareis. So The question is, how could that be? How can that be? How can they not have the status of Kli Sharis? So I'm going to suggest something in 1 minute, but it is just a few makoros that reflect this idea, just so that the Baal HaMor is not alone, and that is turning back to page 10, say page 10 and 11. And again, this is not fully answering, but these makoros are just here to show that the Mizbeach might be different than the other Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. And just because other Kalim have the status of a Kli Sharis, Mizbeach might be unique. Look on page 10. The Rambam, besides having his Sefer HaMitzvos, which is the lengthy discussion of the 613, he has what's called the Minyan HaKatzar, which is the one-liners. It's 613 right before the Mishnah Torah. One line every mitzvah. Sometimes you have something that appears in one and not in the other. So here there's HaSagas HaRaivid on the Minyan HaKatzar in Mitzvah Chaf. The Rambam says, page 10, Livno's Beis HaBechira, Shemar Vasali Mikdash. Mitzvah Daraisa to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Rambam holds. Raivit, Asagas Raivit, Amar Avram, V'lame Hiniach Livnos Mizbeach Avanim Shalemos. The Rambam left out the mitzvah building a Mizbeach. So, in other words, what is the Raivit trying to emphasize? Somehow, whatever the Rambam is, whatever the Rambam holds, but the Raivit seems to be assuming that the Mizbeach is somehow different. The Mizbeach is somehow separate from the Beis HaMikdash. Right, we know there's a halacha. We'll hopefully have a shiur on it one day. The Rambam even paskins. Doesn't work out so much. The Rambam rivet, but the Rambam says makrivin karbanos bezman hazeh afal bisha ain base ain mikdash. If we knew exactly, if we had authority to get into the mikdash and put the mizbeach exactly where it's supposed to be, we could bring karbanos today. There are a few problems. We don't have big day kahuna. We don't have the word of tameh. Oh, a lot of problems. But theoretically, you don't need a base hamikdash to bring karbanos. Just the mizbeach. So says the Ravid in his question, Mizbeach is separate. In other words, Mizbeach might be somehow different than the other Kalim. Not only this Ravid, but there's also a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch on page 11 and 12, where this is done on the Mitzvah Tzadikei in the Mincha, in the Sefer HaChinuch, where he talks about building the Beis HaMikdash. Towards the end, towards the bottom there, I'm going to read the whole thing to save time. He says, line 16, V'hine kelim halalu ein ma'afin ba'avoda, v'chein mevor ba'torah, si es aron b'tok klei ha'mikdash v'eino ma'akev. In other words, you're yotze the mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash, even if you don't build kelim. Because certain kelim aren't, you don't need all of them to be yotze the mitzvah. V'chein kala kelim, where it's underlined, ein ma'afin mitzvah zu. V'efshar, says the Minchas Chinuch, the mizbeach achitzon shu iker, he says, maybe there's an exception to all the kelim, the mizbeach. Again, the Mizbeach is this exception. The Kala Karbonus is not even alive. How can you say the Mizbeach is the same as the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach? You bring Karbonus. That's the Iker. In Cain, line 12, below that, Einar Kari Beis HaMikdash. This is kind of the opposite of the Ravid. The Ravid kind of said it's separate from Mikdash. Menachas Chinuch is saying it's part and parcel of the Mikdash more than the other Kalim. But it's opposite ways, but in both of these Makoros, you're seeing the uniqueness of the Mizbeach, in one way or the other. Ki ikra mikdash hakar of karbanos. Avo menorah, mizbeach hapnime v'chadomeh, then maybe they're not ma'akiv. Again, these Makoros I just bring to your attention to show you that these reflect that the Mizbeach might be different than unique. An answer to the Raman's question might be, no, even if you want to say that Klei Sharesh aren't Yotzei Lechulin by Me'ilah, but it could very well be, Mizbeach is different somehow. Mizbeach is different somehow. It works differently. It's unique. And don't compare it to the other Klei Sharis. Okay, that could be, again, they say Beferish, but this might be just a little background svar for them. But just let me ask you one more question. Are we talking about the Mizbeach here itself? Avnei HaMizbeach. In other words, expand. What are the Avnei HaMizbeach? We're not potentially Klei Sharis the other way. What happens? The Gemara seems to be talking about the Mizbeach there. What happens? They knocked off a few stones. They cut away a few stones of the Mizbeach. In other words, someone says, I'll take your question. That is, it could very well be, and some Achronim suggest this, even if you want to say maybe the Baal HaMor and the Miri agree, the actual Mizbeach, Klei Sharis status. But we're talking about Avnei Mizbeach here. A couple of stones that came apart from the Mizbeach. So maybe those don't have Klei Sharis status. That's what the Gemara is talking about. We're not talking about the actual Mizbeach. The actual Mizbeach is there. Chai v'kayim. And that has Klei Sharis status. But the Avni Mizbeach, what is this? Shitsum. They took a few stones and they worshipped it. That might be very different. Those are pieces of what used to be the Mizbeach. When they're apart with the Mizbeach, okay. But when they're separated, you know, who says that they still have that Klishari status? So either of these approaches, whether they reject it totally, or they just say, you know, maybe because their Avni Mizbeach and Amizbeach, either of those approaches can answer question number one. Yeah. Let's see. 1 second. Kenya Hazaka. Oh, what comes part of the property? Well, it's a. Well, no, well, then the concept of kol mechuber lekarka harehu kekarka, but that applies to like the menorah too. Mechuber doesn't have to mean attached. Okay, it's mizbeach adama in Okinami. Okay, well, that gets into. Oh, I didn't even do the Ramban sheet himself. I forgot to go back. But yeah. Ground. In a chinami. That could be part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Right, because that special the makom. Right. Nechinami, separate from the Kleshari status. Yeah. The Mizbeach might be. So what? But the Mizbeach itself.
But the Mizbeach is made up of stone.
Correct. But I'm saying, but once you take a stone out, that stone separately might not have Kleshari status. Even if the Mizbeach that's left, that's puzzle, still has Kleshari status. Oh, so what is the. I didn't get back to it. Now that I'm already answering the questions to defend the Balamar, let me just finish those. I think the structure will be helpful, and then I'll say the Ramban and Rashi towards the end. I'm going to answer one more, and then the other ones I'll leave the Makoros. The second question number two, the others we'll leave. But again, these the Makoros will speak for themselves. Hopefully, any questions feel free after. The second one that he says it's a Tosefta that says stones from the walls of the Beis Hamikdash can't be redeemed, and you can't be yotzei le'me'ilah. So kol shekain, says the Ramban, it's a kal v'chomer. Mizbeach has higher kedusha than the walls. So kol shekain, the avanim from the mizbeach shouldn't be yotzei l'chulin. So for that, there's a very interesting idea that is suggested by we'll see both by the in a different context. I'm bringing it into this context, but suggested both by Rabbi Yosef Engel and by the Meshechach. Starts off, I gave you the whole tshuva, we're not going to read it. On page 13 and 14, there's a tshuva of the Tashbeis, one of the Rishonim, who talks about somebody wrote to them about a case where the non-Jews were taking over a shul. There are two shuls involved, a bigger shul, a smaller shul, an earlier shul, the second shul, they get whatever, it's a complicated case. But in there he has one line where he says, the Gemara that we read spoke about Goyim going into the Beis HaMikdash and defiling it. Says the Tashbeis, if the Beis HaMikdash, which is on such a high level, gets defiled when Goyim go in, surely shuls, which are only Mikdash Ma'at, on a lower level, surely they will become defiled by Goyim going in. That's what the Tashbeis says. The Gilyoni HaShas, anybody want to make any comments for or against that? Feel free. The Gilyoni HaShas, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, the Gilyoni HaShas on that daf in Avodah Zarah quotes this Tashbeis and says you find just the opposite sometimes in Shas and in Halacha. Just where I gave you on page 15, the first place where it's underlined, Yesh Lomar, after we quote this Tashbeis, end of line 3, the Adaraba, Hihanu Senes, the Beis HaMikdash, Hoel V'Gvoa Kedushaso Tvei Yoser B'Kal Hu Mischalel. Sometimes, says the Gilyoni HaShas, you have a bigger balloon, pops easier. Easier to pop it. The bigger the balloon. The higher the Kedusha sometimes, the easier it is to lose the Kedusha. Where do you find it? I just gave you, he quotes, he says, Ayin Lekach Tov. What's Lekach Tov? That's his own sefer. Lekach Tov is on the next page. Lekach Tov is, he's known for Lekach Tov and Asmin Daraisa. But Lekach Tov, the next page, he has I was trying to remember before the shiur tonight, my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig once spoke about the, he had formulated for Rav Yosef Engel, he says, I forgot the exact term, I remember two of the words that he used, but he says the ideas, it's so brisk, and it's amazing the ideas that he has, but his words were, it's terminologically laden, and the ideas though, you know what he's getting across, but you'll see it here, it's a perfect example, where he's talking about this idea, how sometimes you have the more important, it's like yeshivish terminology, as you'll see, but you see the idea getting across. He says, where it's underlined, Ukeshayesh ala kodesh, yoser chashi. He's talking about the sugya of dichui meikara and nira v'nitche. Sugya that comes up in Lulav HaGazal. Something that's good and then gets pushed aside halachically, or something that was never good to start off with. Sometimes it's worse to be good and then get pushed aside. How could that be? If it was good and then it got pushed aside. So he says, Ukeshayesh ala kodesh, yoser chashi v'shumale. Sometimes if something is better and higher, as adraba, hare hapisul. Who yoser hafichilo mi paas ma'alaso? The piso is right, makes it worse because of its greatness. Al kein adaraba hapiso chazak upoel bo yoser. The psul, is worse on it. The al kein kol shekfar nira beizas man, something that was roi at a certain time. The kfar kibel ma'al of a chashivus mi paas haruyos lahakrava, and it's already gone its greatness. And it's on a high level because it's roi to be a carbon. V'yachrach nifsal azay hapisul poel bo yoser. It's worsened. Umadcheyu gamal acharei zman sheyistalek hapisul. And therefore, even if the psul disappears, it's still always pasul. Mashenkin b'dichi meikara, if it's never good, shelohaya roi adayin b'shum zman v'lohaya lo ma'ala meolam, and it was never good, alkein ein hapusul hafichi lo kol kach. And the next line, the ain mispile min apisul kol kach l'sheyutche gam al acharei zman is talkas apisul. In other words, once the psul later disappears, it's not strong enough because it was never good in the first place. But in other words, what the idea that he's trying to say is that sometimes if you have something that's a higher kedusha, it's easier to lose that kedusha. And that's what he says. So he says in the Tashmita's case, don't say just because goyim go into the Beis Hamikdash and they defile it. So too, if they go kol shekin, they go into a shul. Just the opposite. Because the Beis Hamikdash has such high kedusha, so then maybe that's why it gets nifsal masha'inkein by going into a shul. He doesn't quote it, but there's a beautiful idea by the Meshech Chachma states. Again, this is part of a much larger issue, but I just wanted to mention it here. And that is, there's a big discussion in the postgame, and then we'll get back to our issue. There were two kedushos of Eretz Yisrael, Kiddusha Rishona and Kiddusha Shnia. The Kiddusha Rishona that was done by Yehoshua, by Kibush, by conquering, and the second Kiddusha done by Ezra, which was Chazaka, by settlement. And the Gemara says that Kibush, the conquering of Yehoshua, was that kedusha was paka, kedusha rishona lo kidusha lasid lava we paskin, but the second kedusha that was done by settlement chazaka was kidusha lasid lava. And the major kasha that everybody talks about is why. You know, you would think conquering, going in there and killing them, that's better than settling slowly. You know, so why is it? So there are many, many different answers. Hopefully, have you shared about that yet? No, I don't think you had a share about that. The different kedushas, the Meshech Chachma. Now that you're saying it, I think I remember. But anyways, the Meshech Chachma says, basically against all the other approaches. Because the other approaches basically say there's something unique about Chazaka, which is the second Kedusha, more than the first Kedusha. So the Meshech Chachma says, just the opposite. He says, and he gives a mashal. I'll say the punchline first, then we'll say the mashal, but it's exactly going to be the same derech of the Gilyone Ashas. Because the first Kedusha was a higher level, that's why it was easier to get rid of it. Masha'enki in the second one, which is lower Kedusha, that's why it wasn't Paka. But he gives the example. He says there's a Gemara in Bechoros. It's on page 18, on line 5, he says, Levia shenevelas bilas nus, nosin lam in amaitre v'ocheles. The Kohenes, kiven de ibala havela kazara. The halacha quoted in the Gemara and the Rambam, a Levia who usually eats maiser. She's nivelov a pasala. She's mezana with somebody who's possible for her to have a relationship with. She could still eat meiser after she has that relationship. So okay, she could still eat meiser. But the Gemara says a kohenes who could eat truma, once she's nivel l'pasala, she can't even eat meiser. That's what the Gemara says. A levia could still eat Meiser, a Kohenes can't even eat Meiser, even though she originally could eat Truma. So what's Pshat? Because that's the Pshat. A Kohenes starts off with this high Kedusha. So if she puzzled herself, boom, she's gone. Nothing. No Kedusha left. She can't even eat Meiser. Masha'enke, again, we don't have time, but you can read the Meshach Chachma, but he says, Masha'enke, by a Kohen, by a Leviya, who starts off low. Okay, so you're not so high from the ground, so you fall down. You're not going to fall so much. Right? He says, that's the Pshat with the Kedusha. So the Kedusha Rishona, with Yeshua, was an amazing Kedusha. Boom. One little needle in the balloon, it pops. Masha'enke in the second one. Why are we talking about all this? Remember, back to the second Kasha of the Ramban of the Baal Amor. The Ramban says, if the Abanim of walls can't go Yotzei Lechulin, surely the Abanim of Mizbeach, they're much higher Kedusha. No. That using the Gilyon HaShas's idea, using the Meshech Chachma's idea, maybe the point is no. Because they have a higher Kedusha, that itself makes them more susceptible to becoming Yotzei Lechulin. So that can answer, another answer to answer that question of the Ramban on the Baal Amor. There are other answers to the other questions, but I just like just to finish off with the two other answers, Pshatim, of this Gemara. We only did one so far. Right, we just did the Baal Amor trying to defend him. But again, remember the Gemara says, Uvaba Pritzim Vechilaluha. How did the Beis HaMikdash become Nasar, Ena Damos Adar Vashen Shalom, and the B'Dagayim and Lapinemi Elah? Says the Baal Amor, really it was the Jews. The Pritzim mean Pritzim Yisrael. Aye, so what happened? The Pritzim Yisrael, and then the Goyim came and they answered it. That's the Pshat of the Gemara. The Ramban, though, after asking all these Kashas, if you look back, the Ramban says, back on, I can read it outside, you don't have to go back if you don't want to. The Ramban on page 4 says, no. You know what the Pritzim are? Well, you thought the Pritzim would be Goyim. And it's like Xeris Akansiv. Uvav HaPritzim HaChilaluha is a Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this time there's going to be a Chorban. And by this Chorban, the Goyim are going to have power of B'nai Me'ilah. They're going to have power to make it usher, even though it's Mechubal HaKarka. You read the Lashon of the Ramban on the bottom. He says, Vada, three lines from the bottom. Al Yidei on page 4. Vada Yidei Obdei Kochavim Yatzal Lechulin. It was the Gayim. The Pasuk is talking about the Gayim. Cheri Navi Misnabala Mikdashi Yichariv. Vyamar Shiyatzal Lechulin. Vigzeres Akasav Ayahako. Vigzeres Akasav. Afal Pishe Mila Bakarkos. Vyafal Pishe Mbenei Mila. In other words, according to the Ramban, the Pasuk isn't just telling you a Chiddush about history, it's telling you about a Chiddush in Din. Chiddush and Din is that the Goyim were the ones that usually were not B'nai Me'ilah, but by the story of Chanukah, right, that was our punishment, our Onesh, right, they came in, and that's why when we say in Al Nisa, the Tir was Mikdashecha, different Kavanas, Machlokas, Balamar Ramban, was it the Yavanim or the Misyavnim? Major Machlokas, what the Pshat of the Gemara is. Those are the two of the approaches to the Gemara. Final Pshat, go back to page 1, funny, start to end the Shira by page on page 1, and that is Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi. A lot of times, most of the time, we don't appreciate Rashi until we like read it, and then we see everything else, and we come back to Rashi, and we're like, wow. Right, so Rashi didn't have all the other Sfarim, though. He like had it all in his head. But okay, what does Rashi say? Where it's underlined. A few steps. Mikivan chenichnusu ovde kochavim lahechal yatsu kelav lechulin. Rashi says a tremendous chiddush. Hektish, the kedusha of hektish, says Rashi seems to say, is tului on the fact that this Jewish control of the Beis Hamikdash. That is a function, right? They're connected. The second that Jews leave the Beis Hamikdash and Goyim go in, boom! There's no more kedusha. There's no more status of hektish. It's automatic. That's what he says. B'kivan shenichnusu obdechavim l'heichal, the second that they go in, they didn't use it. Yasu kelo v'chulin, they're chulin. They're not usher yet. They're chulin. B'kivan nafki l'chulin, but once they're chulin, kaninhu behefkera, it's hefker, so the Goyim could be koneit, v'havi lid too, and it's theirs. And they could use it for Avodah Zarah. In other words, Rashi has a different third shita. The hektish is not bailus in a vacuum. Right? Just when I leave my house, everything still belongs to me. I don't have to be in control of it. You could take it out of my house, and it still belongs to me. You could rob me, and it still belongs to me. Unless you shinu, shinu rishus, whatever. But usually, the pashas, it belongs to me still. Not by hektish. Hektish is special. The kedusha of hektish is totally on control of Jews. The second that the Jews leave and the non-Jews come in, the priestim come in, right? He says priestim are like the Ramban. The Goyim, the second the priestim come in, becomes chulin. And then automatically they can come in, pick it up, and do what they want with it. The Navi is right. It sounds like that's right. It doesn't sound like this is a one-time thing. It sounds like any time in history that this would happen, this would be true. And that is why. Also, I mean, again, I didn't get into it, but if there's an Ur Sameach that we're not going to read now, that you know also might be different. The fact that it wasn't like a one-time thing, like somebody violated Me'ilah here. The whole Beis Hamikdash became Bechurban, so the halachas Me'ilah might be different. Maybe even Bemezin, maybe even Klei Shareis. That's another approach which we didn't get to. But that is a chiddush of what Rashi says. So like, yeah, I think also it's just out of the three shittos that we spoke about, there's a message about each of them. Number one, the Baal Amar. You know, the Baal Amar, we can think about a lot of times we're our own worst enemies. And a lot of times, you know, we think that it's the Goyim. No, but it's us. The Misyavnim were the ones that led to this problem. That's Shalom 1 of the Baal Amar. With all, again, the Ramban had the 6 kashas, and we answered some of them, and the others are in here. And number 2 is the Ramban. The Ramban says, no, there's a Chiddush. Really, the special din that it was an Onesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Deir Sakasa. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it to lose its, wanted the Goyim to have this power, even though they're not Bnei B'ilah, etc. And finally, Rashi, Shitas Rashi, is the third approach, and that is that, you know, Hekdesh is Talui on control, Jewish control, and the second, that there's no Jewish control, you know, so then it loses sanctity. I mean, we could even see this as on Azeh. Once something, you know, in Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control, it's already different. The magic of Eretz Yisrael. It's not the, right? Things don't grow there for 700 years. We go back to Eretz Yisrael, boom. Things grow, there are orchards, whatever, but it might even be connected to this Rashi. Once we control something so that it imbues it with Kedusha, and the second that we leave and they come in, so then the Kedusha is gone, it becomes Chulin. And then they can do whatever they want with it. So, but. Sorry? Right. Uva pritzim. It's the bia. I think it's the but it says he. Right. Right. There's a question which I didn't get into, and that is, how did they? You know, we always talk about Chanukah as the Chanukah Hashem is Be'ach. Why did they need the Chanukah of the whole Beis Hamikdash if the whole thing became Tameh? But you're right. From that, you have to seek. Right. There's a whole process of Lechem Ushtei Todos. There's a process of what to do. So the question is, we don't have in history, in the history books, that was done. So the question is, it must not have fully lost the Kedusha, maybe just the Kalim. Anyway, this is just some of the discussions regarding Inyani Chanukah, and maybe we'll talk about this more, you know, next year. It's all about Uvoba Priest of Chilulu. Okay, that's it.